Opinion vertical line. The war between Israel and Hamas is splintering the Democratic coalition. The New York Times, November 8, 2023. Credit. Amir Ham GA/ The New York Times. Share full article by Thomas D. Edsel. Mr. Edsel contributes a weekly column from Washington, D.C. on politics, demographics and inequality. The Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel and Israel's retaliatory strikes on Gaza are creating the fissures between Democratic constituencies crucial to President Biden's campaign for a second term in the White House. The November 2 Quinnipiac University poll found that half of all voters approved of the way Israel is responding to the October 7 attacks, while 35% disapproved. Among all voters, however, one key subgroup dissented: 18 to 34 years old, the constituency that provided Biden with enough votes in 2020 to put him over the top. These young voters faulted Israel's response to the attacks, 52 to 32%. Exit poll data from 2020 shows that Donald Trump beat Biden by small margins among the 60% of the electorate that was 45 or older, that Biden won 52-46 among the 23% of voters aged 30-44, and that the one block decisively in favor of Biden was voters aged 18-29, who made up 17% of the electorate and backed the Democratic nominee 60-36. Perhaps equally significant, in March 2023, more than 6 months before Hamas's attack on Israel, Gallup found that sympathy toward the Palestinians among U.S. adults is at a new high of 31%. While the proportion not favoring either side is at a new low of 15%. The 54% of Americans sympathizing more with the Israelis is similar to last year's 55%, but it is the lowest since 2005. This shift in American public opinion toward Palestinians provides crucial insight into what my Times colleagues Jennifer Medina and Lisa LaRue wrote on October 20, progressive Jews who have spent years supporting racial equity, gay and transgender rights, abortion rights and other causes on the American left, including opposing Israeli policies in Gaza and the West Bank, are suddenly feeling abandoned by those who they long thought of as allies. This wartime shift represents a fundamental break within a liberal coalition that has long powered the Democratic Party. There is, Medina and LaRue add, the politically engaged swath of American Jewry who are reaching a breaking point. They have long sought an end to the Israeli government's occupation of the West Bank and blockade of Gaza, supported the two-state solution and protested the right-wing government of Benjamin Netanyahu. But in the Hamas attacks, many saw an existential threat, evoking memories of the Holocaust and generations of antisemitism, and provoking anxiety about whether they could face attacks in the United States. And they were taken aback to discover that many of their ideological allies not only failed to perceive the same threats but also saw them as oppressors deserving of blame. Bruce Kane, a political scientist at Stanford, replied by email to my question on the domestic political consequences of the violence in the Middle East. For Democrats, the Gaza war exacerbates pre-existing coalitional tensions along age, racial, religious, and ideological lines. The pro-Hamas faction is younger, non-white, Muslim and secular, and more progressive. The pro-Israel faction is older, whiter, Jewish and Christian, and more centrist. Biden cannot afford to lose even thin slices of the Democratic electorate, Kane argued, as the CNN/NYD poll indicates. Small swings in turnout of the Democratic base can doom Biden. This is what happened to Hillary behind the blue curtain in 2016. The longer and bloodier the war, Kane added, the harder it will be for the Democratic coalition. I asked Norman Ornstein, a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, do you see the conflict hurting Biden's prospects or helping them? He replied by email, right now, there is no question it is dividing the Democratic base and hurting Biden's approval. But, Ornstein quickly added, the election is a year away, and, more important, all will be shaped by the outcome of the conflict. Biden's support of Israel has produced exceptional, if not unprecedented, dissent among party loyalists and government employees. On November 3, Liz Skelka, Daniel Marins and Akra Shahid Ahmed reported on the HuffPost website that more than 50 staff members of the Democratic National Committee had signed a letter calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. As strategic partners to the administration, we feel it is the D.N.C.'s moral obligation to urge President Biden to publicly call for a ceasefire, they wrote. With the number of civilian deaths growing rapidly each day, we must be clear, The Israeli government's unrelenting military bombardment and blockading of vital supplies entering Gaza must end. Along similar lines, the November 1 foreign policy article by Robbie Gramer disclosed that there was a storm of dissent brewing in the State Department. A group of State Department employees opposed to administration policies is gathering signatures for a dissent cable, Gramer wrote, the formal procedure created by the State Department to allow its users the opportunity to bring dissenting or alternative views on substantive foreign policy issues. Gramer reported that many U.S. diplomats were privately angered, shocked and despondent by what they perceived as a de facto blank check from Washington for Israel to launch a massive military operation in Gaza at an immense humanitarian cost for the besieged Palestinian civilians in Gaza. In a separate November 3 foreign policy article, more U.S. officials are anonymously calling for a Gaza ceasefire, Amy McKinnon and Gramer wrote. Hundreds of USAID, United States Agency for International Development officials have reportedly signed a letter calling on the Biden administration to push for an immediate ceasefire and cessation of hostilities in the Israel-Hamas war, according to a copy of the petition obtained by Foreign Policy. On November 3, 56 Democratic members of the House and two senators wrote to Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, demanding that the administration make clear that Israel must conduct military operations within the scope of international law and minimize civilian harm. We must continue to hold ourselves and our closest allies to the highest standards of conduct, the authors of the letter went on to say, even at times of great tragedy and violence. While we firmly believe in Israel's right to defend itself, we are gravely concerned by Israel's military operation and conduct that fails to limit harm to non-combatants and vulnerable populations. Nearly 9,000 Palestinians have been killed, including over 3,600 children. Abiding by international law is not only morally imperative, but also legally required per international humanitarian law, and strategically important to prevent regional escalation and to preserve global support for Israel's response to Hamas's attack. One underlying reason the Israel versus Hamas conflict, including both the October 7 terrorist attacks by Hamas on Israel and the subsequent Israeli counterattack on Gaza, is particularly problematic for Democrats is that psychological research shows that liberals are more inclined to feel empathy than conservatives. In a May 2018 paper, are liberals and conservatives equally motivated to feel empathy toward others? Yossi Hassan, Maya Tamir, Kia S. Brams, J. Christopher Kors and Iran Halperin reported that on average and across samples, liberals wanted to feel more empathy and experienced more empathy than conservatives did. Their conclusion found support in a paper that was published in May. Ideological values are parametrically associated with empathy neural response to vicarious suffering, by Nilaufer for Zeper Jadi, Ilyaku Hodler, Annika Kluga, Mikko Sams and Jonathan Levy of Aalto University in Finland. The five authors used neuroimaging to reveal an asymmetry in the neural empathy response as a function of political ideology. The research by Zeper Jadi and her four colleagues revealed a typical rhythmic alpha band empathy response in the temporal parietal junction. This neural empathy response was significantly stronger in the leftist than in the rightist group of those studied. Jeremy Conant-Dyke, who served as the director of USAID's Office of U.S. Foreign Disaster Assistance from 2013 to 17, gave voice to this empathy in an interview with Politico about the Israel/Hamas conflict. What the rest of the world sees is that when civilian apartment buildings are bombed by Russia in Ukraine, the U.S. government forcefully condemns this as illegitimate. And when they see similar tactics being used by the IDF in Gaza, they see lockstep support from the U.S. government. This dramatically undermines the credibility of international humanitarian law. The fundamental foundation of international law is that certain things are wrong full stop because it happens to humans. That's why it makes the attacks by Hamas wrong deeply horrific and a grave violation of international humanitarian law. And that's why it makes war crimes in response wrong. One of the striking findings in polling conducted in the aftermath of October 7 is how much more supportive young voters are of Hamas and how much less supportive they are of Israel. The October 19 Harvard-Harris poll asked 2,116 registered voters, in general, in this conflict do you side more with Israel or Hamas? By 84-16%, voters chose Israel, with everyone 25 or older backing the Jewish state by 3-1 or better. The one exception was voters 18-25, with 52% saying they sided with Israel and 48% with Hamas. asked, "Do you think the Hamas killing of 1,200 Israeli civilians in Israel can be justified by the grievances of Palestinians, or is it not justified?" An overwhelming majority of registered voters surveyed, 76%, said it could not be justified, 24% said it could be. Among the youngest voters, however, 51% of those 18 to 24 said the killing can be justified by the grievance of Palestinians, and 49% said it cannot be. Voters 25 to 34 were split, 48% saying the killing of Israelis can be justified, 50% saying it cannot. In researching their March 2022 article, "The Young American Left and Attitudes About Israel," Laura Roden and Eitan Hirsch, political scientists at Harvard and Tufts, surveyed 3,500 U.S. adults, including oversampling of 2,500 adults aged 18 to 30, to explore why young people and the ideological far left have developed distinctly negative views toward Israel. In June 2021, they write, "Immediately following armed conflict in Israel and Palestine, liberal Democrats were three times more likely than conservative Republicans to say that the USA was too supportive of Israel. Three in five Republicans, but only one in five Democrats, agreed in May 2021 that it was very important for the USA to help protect Israel. Among Democrats aged 18 to 35, however, they found that respondents were three times more likely to say the USA should lean more toward Palestinians than Israel." Digging deeper, Roden and Hirsch found a clear ideological and age pattern. On both ideological extremes, more young adults than older adults hold an unfavorable view of Israel. Moderate young adult favorable attitudes toward Israel, 58%, is indistinguishable from moderate older adults at 62%. The difference is largest on the far left, where Israel favorability is 27 percentage points less among younger very liberal adults at 33% for young adults compared with older adults at 60%. Young very conservative adults are supportive of Israel 66%, but substantially less so than older very conservative adults 82%.